Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of March, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Ben Proust should be here to take a look at the agricultural cash grain trade from the Andersons facility there in Everly, Iowa. We'll update the weather forecast with Ed Kieser, his last installment for the South American weather for the year. And we'll take a quick look at the grain stocks report with state statistician Mark Sleisner from Illinois USDA NASS and Daryl Good, ag economist from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. On this Friday afternoon, futures were higher in the corn pit. May contract up 11.5 cents for the day. July at 11.25 higher, 392.75 the final price there. The May, by the way, at 385. September at $4.25. That's the one I wanted to see, up 10.75. And December at 409.25, up 10.25. March contract at $4.18.75, up 10.25 cents in the corn pit. Soy complex, May beans up 12, $9.73.75 settlement price. July at 978, up 11.25, and the August at 977.25, up 11.25 as well. September futures a dime higher, 962.5. November at 956.25, up 10 cents. And January soybeans for the day at $9.61, they finished up 10 cents. Bean meal at 324, up $4.70. Bean oil at 3068, 6 cents higher. Chicago soft red winter wheat in the May 18 cents higher at $5.30. July up 18 as well. 533.75 the settlement price. In the Kansas City wheat at 569.5 in the lead option May, up 19.25. July at 575, 19 cents higher. From the livestock, live cattle futures at 158.65, up 65 for the day. In the April, June at 150.82.5, 60 cents higher. Feeder cattle on the afternoon at 215, 22.5, up $1.17.5, and the April at 216, 42.5, up 40 cents for the day. Lean hogs finished up 40 cents at $58.52.5. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report as a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do find us online. The address there is WILLAG.org.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Well, let's take a look at the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day at $45.87, $1.91 higher in the April contract. Heating oil or diesel fuel, $1.73.3, up a penny and a tenth of a cent. And the gasoline on the RBOB, our wholesale price, at $1.79.5, 2.1 cents higher. And natural gas at $2.79.3, that's up, or rather down 2 cents at this time. And the ethanol futures finished at $1.48.9, 4 cents higher in the April contract. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the Urbana-Champaign area for the National Weather Service. Partly sunny, a high of 53 degrees today. West-southwest winds at 8 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear. A low of 40, and then tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 61 degrees. Saturday night, clear and a low of 34. Sunday, mostly sunny, 50 degrees. And Sunday night, a 30% chance of rain. That after 1 a.m. in the morning, mostly cloudy and a low of 33 degrees. On Monday, chance of rain continues. Freezing rain maybe before 1 in the afternoon, and then a chance of rain. Mostly cloudy. We will get to 45 degrees on Monday afternoon. Chance of precipitation for Monday set at 40%. Monday night, mostly cloudy and 33 degrees. Tuesday, a chance of showers, partly sunny and 53. Tuesday night, we'll drop back to 45 with some showers. They'll continue into Wednesday morning. We'll turn mostly cloudy and 62, and Wednesday night, cloudy and 38, and Thursday, partly sunny with a high of 50 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Ed Kieser for the last time this year about the South American weather forecast.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on their upcoming auction of 201 acres in Douglas County, Illinois, is at murraywiseassociates.com or at 217-398-6400.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 20th day of March. It is a Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzulo is on the phone line from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Happy vernal equinox, Todd.
Oh, thank you for the reminder. I forgot about that almost completely, gosh, especially when I read the freezing rain in the forecast.
Yeah.
For Monday. The vernal equinox is today, and I remember, let's see, what time does it take place exactly? I've got it at 5:45 this evening, Central Time, the vernal equinox. So we'll switch from winter to spring. How about that? That'll be a good deal.
That's exactly right, and we hope that we get some conducive weather to make it feel like spring, but the maps are suggesting otherwise, unless you're out here in our part of the world where we're starting to bake again. We're going to hit 70 and then be in the mid to upper 70s by the weekend, and I'm sure the anhydrous tanks will be all over the place by the end of the weekend and into first of next week with guys getting ready to plant some corn in some pretty dry dirt.
Well, that sounds like what they'll be wanting to do there. And then, of course, it won't take long here before things begin to run. I was in Logan County yesterday. I actually learned how to run the planter that belongs to my brothers. Man, there's a lot of data that flows through the cabs. Unbelievable the amount they have to learn and the equipment they have. You don't just put a chain planter in the ground and go anymore. In fact, it's kind of funny, Mike. Have you been in the cab with one of the new planters and all the machinery that's there?
It's been about 2 years ago, so I would say no, because things have changed so much. I remember at the Commodity Classic last year, I sat down with the precision planting people, and just they blew my head away, you know, and I thought to myself, gosh, what if we have a bad solar eclipse or a lot of flares? You know, what will that do to our ability to program and hold data in the GPS and in the satellite data? With this cloud computing, you know, you got to start wondering about what's going on with the ability to get data back and forth in case you have some solar flares and things like that.
And Precision was there yesterday, and I talked to them a little bit, but I was learning more about the GPS. And I've been in the cab with Tim on occasion when they first got those machines, and it was pretty common. If the GPS goes or data flow is bad, it shuts down the machine.
It's done. Yeah, it's absolutely done. You know, you might as well get the chain back out. Get the chain planter back out.
20 minutes on the end, and you better hope that you can run fast and wide when you get started again, because you have to wait it out. All right, so 20 minutes. Hey, speaking of 20 minutes, man, trade in Chicago was kind of fun today. Lots of green on the screen. Why did that happen?
Today's conversation could have been a lot worse, Todd. I think that's one of the biggest things to take away from this week's trade. And to answer your question, I think you can see pretty clearly, and we talked about this at your excellent beef house meeting, about the ability of the outside markets and those investment funds to shift their allocation of assets if the dollar and the crude oil would fall, you know, in a domino type effect. And that's what happened after Wednesday. We were hitting and going through January lows. Many clients were calling in wondering if we were ever going to get a rally again. And, you know, all I could say to them was, you just got to wait for a dollar top, and you've got to wait for Janet Yellen to speak. And boy, did they speak, because they really came out with a very much weaker economic forecast for the United States, and tied together really nicely what happened back in the late 1990s. High dollar, low crude, turned around and hurt the U.S. economy via other economies and the world economy. And so it is a globalized world we're living in. And when we saw those technical levels violated at that 99 level on the June dollar index, and the crude oil snap back, and we saw the European wheat then make a new 7-week high, the momentum and the sentiment, and so therefore the computers and the algorithmic trading started to shift. And that's where we ended up today, with a nice momentum feel going into the weekend, and weather maps are on the trades' minds once again. Unfortunately, they weren't earlier this week, but now they are.
Yeah, so you have the algo trades leading things, and that tends to be technically driven. We know that's temporary, but the fundamentals could come in and support the marketplace, is what you're trying to tell me, I think.
Yeah, and I think the biggest statistic that I was really blown away, and I have to give a kudos to AgriMoney for pointing this out because I missed it on my charts, but at last Friday's commitment of traders, net long managed money positions for all the 13 traded agriculture commodities were only a plus 46,700 contracts of futures and options, a tiny number, and AgriMoney showed that the lowest since 2006. So it's like I told another fellow today on the radio, it seems to me, even with all these computer trades and all these algorithms, you can still have a very inefficient market and a market that gets on too heavily on one side of the boat or the other. And when you have somebody as big as the Fed come out and you know, shake you and give you a tsunami in that boat, you're going to tip over pretty quickly. And I think those commitment to traders numbers, you know, kind of led that type of mindset for me, that the investment flows were very, very heavily weighted against commodities, and just wondering how long they could keep this up. So you literally had to feed the bull and the dollar at this point when the Fed came out, and we saw that biggest fall in one day for the dollar index in 6 years on Wednesday. So we could see those algo traders moving very quickly.
Where do we go from here?
Next week, we're set up for positive weather. I think positive crop conditions and planting progress. You know, this is the time of year where Mississippi and Louisiana should be about a third planted. In fact, Louisiana put out their first corn planting numbers this previous Monday, and they were at zero, and they were at 20% on their five-year average, 3% as of this past Monday last year. I don't think you're going to change that trend because you stayed saturated in the Delta. So you've got weather with Garden City, Kansas, looking at 0.2 inch of rainfall in the next 10 days and mid-70s through most of that. You've got the technicals on your side, and I think you've got the Monday crop conditions and planting progress numbers on your side. So that should allow for yet stronger markets, and we are within 4 cents, 3 to 4 cents of today's high in the December corn of testing that 200-day moving average. That's the biggie for me as far as breaking above on a closing basis and kicking the momentum into a higher gear that would allow us to go even higher as we approach that acreage and stocks report.
Speaking of the acreage and stocks report, Informa was out with its numbers today. They say corn acreage at 88.5 and soybean acres at 87.5 on yields of 166.1 and 45. What'd you think?
I thought the trade handled the farm futures numbers, which were almost identical in the beans as the Informa numbers, very, very well, because 87.5 seems to me about 1 to 1.5 million acres more than what we talked about on the soybean panel at the beef house as far as what the trade expectations were. So I was very relieved to see the November beans actually close higher on the week. May beans could not do it because we saw the corn and bean spread really kick into gear here late in the week. But November beans did a nice job of closing positive on the week, even in light of that data. So I guess I feel like it's going to be real tough between now and the acreage report to find some bearish numbers to trade off of.
Anything that we should talk about in the livestock for the week? There were some pretty decent-sized moves.
Yes. You know, this commodity move was not just about the grains. April live cattle had the best close since January 14th, and lead month gold had its best weekly gain in 2 months. And so here again, even though the hogs are lagging, I think those investment flows, because the agriculture commodity has been so heavily sold, will continue to be more friendly to the trade if we keep that dollar under pressure. So that $60 level in hogs should be a pretty good support area.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, joins us on this Friday afternoon. Now here's your Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, with today's Ag News.
Senate Finance Committee Chairman Orrin Hatch, a Republican from Utah, is calling on President Barack Obama to help move a trade promotion authority bill through the legislative process. Hatch says that TPA is essential for the ongoing negotiations for the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership agreements, because without it, U.S. trading partners will not put their best offers on the table. Hatch called renewing TPA his top trade priority for this Congress, but it appears unlikely that the president will have a great deal of success in convincing members of his own party to support either TPA or the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. The House Agriculture Committee yesterday approved the Reducing Regulatory Burdens Act of 2015, which would clarify congressional intent regarding pesticide regulation in or near waters of the United States. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Michael Conaway says many farmers and ranchers are subject to costly and duplicative burdens, providing no public health or environmental benefit. California Governor Jerry Brown and legislative leaders yesterday proposed legislation to accelerate more than $1 billion in water spending and urged residents to do their part to conserve. California is in its fourth straight year of drought conditions, and winter is ending without enough snow and rain to replenish reservoirs. Immediate funding includes $20 million for additional emergency drinking water for communities with dry wells and $24 million for food banks. President Barack Obama ordered the federal government to cut its greenhouse gas emissions by nearly half over the next decade. Under an executive order, the government must cut its emissions of heat-trapping gases by 40% compared to 2008 levels, a move the White House says could save taxpayers up to $18 billion in electricity costs. European Union leaders have agreed on a plan that would likely keep the bloc's broad economic sanctions on Russia in place until year's end. The 28 EU leaders tied the sanctions to Ukraine's regaining control of its borders by December 31st. The decision could provide EU countries some flexibility to ease sanctions if Russia takes conciliatory action before year's end. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, a great edition of Commodity Week, including our panelists, Elaine Cubb, Jackie Vakes, Wayne Nelson, and Kurt Kimmel. It comes up immediately after the closing market report on many of these radio stations tomorrow morning on some of them. And it's already up on the website at WILLAG.org. Commodity Week, it's one for the dogs. You'll have to listen to the very end to find out what that means. Thanks for listening to all our programming, and I really do mean that. Thank you. Thank you so very much for listening. The reports USDA is due to release the 31st of March will set the tone of agricultural trade. Once every 3 months, the National Agricultural Statistics Service takes a census of the available bushels of corn, soybeans, and wheat. It's called the Grain Stocks Report. It's not exactly a survey, but rather more of an actual accounting, in this case of what's stored in Illinois, says NAS statistician Mark Schleusner.
Absolutely. To measure the whole supply of grains and oil seeds in Illinois, we've got to do what we call on-farm, that's with the producers, what they have in their grain storage bins, and off-farm, that's the mills and elevators. For the mills and elevators on March 1, we don't use a sample, we use a census. We contact all of them across the state.
Nationwide, more than 9,000 commercial storage facilities are contacted for the census side of the Grain Stocks Report. The survey side, that done with farmers, is sent to more than 80,000 producers with an 80% response rate. The goal is to get a very accurate accounting of the bushels available for use.
That is our goal. And between the two, if you just add up the whole storage capacity, it's about even. The all the farmers' storage bins added together compared to all the ADMs and Cargills and grain elevators together, it's about even.
Where the bushels are stored changes across the season. December 1, it's stored on the farm, and through the winter months, these bushels slowly move to the elevators and mills. And eventually, in the case of corn, the bushels are shipped down the river for export or fed to livestock or turned into ethanol. The bushels are used. If you add what's used to what's left, the grain stocks number, the sum should be the total available supply for the year. However, tracking the middle usage number for corn, the bushels fed to livestock, isn't possible. That's why USDA calls this number feed and residual. And this season, it's supposed to be 5.3 billion bushels. The question is how much of that 5.3 billion has already been consumed. And therein lies the guess, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
If the most recent pattern is being followed this year, and the USDA projection of 5.3 billion bushels for the year is correct, use during the first half of the year should have totaled 3.94 billion bushels, and second quarter use would have been near 1.7 billion bushels. If that was the case, then total use during the second quarter would have been 3.75 billion bushels, leaving March 1 stocks at 7.45 billion.
On the other hand, if the usage pattern is more like it was prior to 2010, there could be another 200 or 300 million bushels of corn accounted for in the grain stocks figure because it hasn't yet been consumed. It will still be consistent, however, with a 5.3 billion bushel usage figure for the year. The grain stocks report for corn has a wide range, then, of easily acceptable figures from around 7.4 to 7.7 billion bushels. It all makes the grain stocks number not so important and puts a great deal more weight on the prospective plantings report to be released on the same day, March 31. Let's check now this Friday afternoon the cash grain market with Ben Pruce at the Andersons facility in Everly, Iowa. Ben, thanks for being with us this afternoon. Farmers have been calling on this nice little update to see what your basis looks like.
Yes, they have, as a matter of fact. We've bought a nice chunk of corn here this afternoon. What's kind of funny, not that we're going to overly broadcast this, but compared to last week, we're only a penny off. Right. We lost it. We gained it back. And here's where we finished. So, it looks nice, up 11 here on this Friday.
It's all about whether it was down the day
before,
right?
It's all about perception these days, it seems like.
Well, it's too late. You just broadcast it. So that's okay.
Right.
That's
right.
Okay. So what are your expectations then for next week? Have we moved past the kind of lull? And are we ready for a little rally into March and April?
Maybe. I mean, you know, we kind of saw the market kind of peak late in April last year. You know, I mean, until we get planted, it's hard to get a real feel for that. But, I mean, we're talking out loud about it today that we expect that we could maybe see a little bit of pop here. Nothing, you know, nothing. I'm not saying we're going to put 50 cents on the board, but even if we could put another dime or 15 cents on top of this, boy, it's time, old crop, new crop. 2016 to just start going, putting hedges on.
You sound truly convinced.
Yes. I mean, it's just time to go. There's just a lot of risk on the table. You know, everybody keeps saying it's going to take a weather event. Well, we can't plan on bad weather happening. And if we get planted, and Informa came out 88 million acres here this morning, if we get planted, have a normal crop, boy, we're going to be in trouble. So we better be putting hedges in place and knowing how to manage those if the market would move higher.
Okay, just the corn spot bid, please, is all.
367 here today.
Thanks so much. That's Ben Pruce.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's National Agriculture Day. The celebration always occurs on the first day of spring, and it's coordinated by the Agriculture Council of America, whose mission is to share with every American where food and fiber products are produced. National Ag Day also shows appreciation for national farmers and ranchers who are responsible for the supply of food, clothing, and other commodities nationwide and globally. The first National Ag Day was in 1973. It's also National Ravioli Day and St. Cuthbert's Day, patron of shepherds. On this day in agricultural history in 1727, Sir Isaac Newton died. The story, of course, is that an apple falling on his head inspired his theory of universal gravitation. Few think Newton was really hit on the noggin, but rather that he likely came upon the idea of the power of gravity while sitting at the window of his mother's Lincolnshire estate. Newton is reported to have spied an apple falling from a tree while in a contemplative mood. Newton asked himself, why should the apple always descend perpendicular to the ground instead of going sideways or upwards? The apple, by the way, is thought to have been the green-skinned flower of Kent variety. And in 1932, Ilya Ivanovich Ivanov died. Ivanov was a Soviet biologist. While others had previously shown it was possible to artificially inseminate domestic animals, Ivanov developed the practical procedures in 1901. Initially working with horses, by the early 1930s, the procedure was being used on other farm animals as well. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You may access agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media on demand anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. The weather is next.
I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser with a look at the weather for corn and soybean production in South America. The summer crop season is quickly moving toward completion in Brazil and Argentina. More than half of the soybeans have already been harvested in Brazil. Meanwhile, a corn harvest is underway in Argentina, with beans soon to follow. With the exception of second crop safrinha corn in Brazil, most summer crops are beyond the critical moisture-sensitive stage. Thus, this is our final weekly South American update for the season. In Argentina, mostly dry weather is expected in the coming week. That will benefit corn harvesting and soybean maturation. The only weather concern is for late-planted soybeans, as they would still benefit from some rain. Computer models do show an increase in the chance of rain during the middle of next week. That would help the late-developing soybeans while not causing long delays in field work elsewhere. Overall, the weather forecast is generally favorable for crops in Argentina in the coming 10 days. In South Brazil and Paraguay, dry weather this week has favored rapid soybean harvest progress. Mostly dry weather is expected to continue in the coming 10 days, so no notable problems are expected. A big soybean crop is coming out of South Brazil. Farther north into the center-west, southeast, and northeast regions of Brazil, spotty showers and thunderstorms this week have provided beneficial moisture for second crop corn, while amounts and frequency have been low enough to allow for field work. Now that the second crop corn is finally planted, rainfall is needed for plant growth. Showers and thunderstorms in the coming 10 days should be sufficient to help the second season corn along. Only far southern areas around the state of Paraná run the risk of staying drier than desired. As mentioned in recent weeks, heavy rainfall in February, especially in Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul, and parts of Goiás, slowed soybean harvesting and subsequent second-season corn planting. The biggest weather concern going forward will be the onset of the typical dry season in late April or early May. With much of the corn planted late, an early onset of the dry season could greatly reduce the crop. On the other hand, planting is up, so if rains continue into May before the dry season hits, the crop potential is high. That is a place to watch in the coming month and a half. Have a great 2015 growing season. For Commodity Week, I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.